Angie's List is now Angie, your home for everything home. Angie still has the same top pros and reviews you've counted on for more than 20 years, only now you'll also get access to all the tools you need to make your home a happy place. Inside, outside, big or small, Angie helps you find the right solution for whatever you need done, all from your phone. It's simple to find upfront pricing and instantly book hundreds of projects. You can even search pricing guides to see what others paid for similar jobs and easily compare quotes from top local pros to make sure you're getting a fair price. From lawn care to repairing the AC to the project of your dreams, Angie has your home projects handled from start to finish. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, they'll cover your project up to the full purchase price plus limited damage protection with their happiness guarantee. Make your home an Angie home. Check out Angie.com today. And for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Dustin Nickerson talks about how to create a comedy special during a pandemic.
The actual special itself is everything you don't want out of a comedy show. We're outside, no ceiling, we're surrounded by barbed wire, a plane goes over, a guy falls asleep in the show, we're next to a chemical like waste lot. And it's a colder LA night, and so the gases start expanding and making these big bang noises that happen throughout the set. It's like 25, 30 people all spread out, all had a COVID test as they walked in, and they're wearing masks. Like, that's all the wrong things.
Today on the show, comedian Dustin Nickerson talks about how to create a comedy special during a pandemic. Stay close.
Hey, my name is Dustin Nickerson, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show of over 10 years, or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I hope you guys had a chance to listen to screenwriter Peter Gulke last week. That guy was so interesting. His story was about three brushes with death. And not only were there three brushes with death, but they all happened within one weekend. Really cool story. So go back, listen to Peter Gulke, you guys, last week, but not today, because today I have a comedian with me, of course, a comedian, and his name is Dustin Nickerson. And I don't know him well. I'm just kind of getting to know him, although I've been listening to his podcast for a while. So there's that. But this is the first time I'm meeting him, and I'm so excited he's here. He brings forth the topic, creating a comedy special during a pandemic. So obviously, I know you created a comedy special because I watched it last night on Amazon Prime. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, there must be so many challenges. I mean, obviously, because you have nothing to draw upon.
No, there's no manual for.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. So I'm excited to hear your story, but I got to tell you, I know at least one thing in common.
Okay.
Well, we know a lot of the same people, but also,
of course,
we both have 13-year-old children.
Yes, and are quarantined with them. Yeah. Right. I mean, like,
oh no, mine's outside.
Yeah. I mean, I've been locked in with my 13-year-old for, 98% of the day since mid-March. So I think mine's in the house. I couldn't tell you confidently. He may be skateboarding. He may be outside.
Do you have any other children or just your one boy?
Yes. I have three kids. I have a 13-year-old boy, an 11-year-old girl, and a 6-year-old girl.
Wow. Your house is buzzing.
Yeah. Do you just have the 13-year-old?
Yeah, I just have one.
You see how parents of multiple kids were real condescending. Oh, so you just have the one?
Oh, yeah. One. Just one. Well, let me dig the hole deeper. She's only with me 4 days a week, and then she goes to her dad's place.
Oh, my gosh. Does that even count? Are you – I don't know if that's technically a parent at that point.
Exactly. And he only lives a block away, so she pretty much walks over there now. So, man, I am out of the weeds, Dustin. I got to tell you.
Yeah, we're kind of acting like we are too. We aren't out of the weeds, but sometimes we kind of act like we are, as far as like, you guys will be fine, right? Like, you know, there's the 13-year-old is competent enough.
No, definitely. They're independent.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I always say like this in my mind, I remember almost everything from being 13. I don't remember much at all from being 6, but 13, I feel like I could, it's very easy for me to envision that. So I'm like, that means he's responsible, right? I mean, this is terrible logic, but sometimes you just need to get out of the house.
You guys live in San Diego.
We do.
What part of San Diego?
College area, La Mesa, mm-hmm. kind of by SDSU. Do you got some time down here? You know the area?
Sure. You know, actually, I was just there. I was just there like a month ago. My boyfriend's daughter goes to Mesa.
Oh, yeah, right down here.
Yeah, and she lives in the, she lives in that really nice place. It's the, Mission, of course.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It's Mission really Beach. Great.
Yeah,
Mission Beach, so lovely. And I love it down there. I love San Diego. Now, Coronado, that's the first time I ever went to Coronado. Have you been there?
Of course, yeah.
Of course, yeah. That's, what do you guys go there for? I mean, the beach, is that the thing? I mean, we went to a restaurant and stuff. I'm just saying like,
yeah, Coronado,
you live there, is that, yeah. isn't that really touristy?
Yes, but San Diego is really touristy. I mean, so I'm from Seattle. Seattle is where I'm from and born and raised, and kind of consider myself a little more of a Seattleite than a San Diegan, even though we've been here for almost 10 years. But I, you know, that's my only real critique of San Diego is that it's a little on the touristy side everywhere. Now, there are like some local spots, you know, but Coronado is, to me, objectively the best of the beaches. So we do go there.
They're so big. The beaches are big.
They go forever, though they do tend to have more stingrays than the other beaches. So there you go.
Oh, really?
Insider
no,
tip.
I didn't know that. I love this. This is inside baseball.
Yeah,
SoCal.
Yeah. The further south, usually the warmer the water, the more stingrays. So
interesting. Wow. Yeah. I actually didn't know that. And did they really use the term Seattleite? Did you make that up?
No, that's a term. Yeah, we use that one.
That's so funny. I've never heard that.
Yeah, I've heard that one quite. Yeah, it's just faster. You know, who has time to say from Seattle? I mean,
I see. And are you still a Seahawks fan or?
Very much so. Yeah, Seattle is like, you know, I think if you're from there, it is like your identifier. It's because it's a very, considering the size of the city, which is not that big of a city.
Is it about 500,000?
Yeah, I think it's like 750 somewhere mm-hmm. around there, but it's mm-hmm. under a million. But it's so iconic, it's so distinctive, and it's such like a world-changing city. Like for
it
a city
really
of
is.
That size to create the music they've created, the tech they've created, the art that they've created, the culture that they've made.
The salmon that they get.
Yeah, the food. Exactly. So you really do kind of wear it like a badge of honor. Even its annoying parts, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really cool. And also the thing about Seattle to me is it opens up the north, like, because as soon as you hit the state of Washington and then you get to Seattle, it's like everything is so green. Everything mm-hmm. is so mountainous and there's
right.
so much water. Like
yes.
it's all of a sudden you are in like, you know, I don't know, Canada.
Yeah. No, if it was sunny there, everyone would live there. Because it is so scenically beautiful, but you just have to commit to battling seasonal depression. And after 27 years, I was like, I've had my fill. I'm going to the sunshine.
Yeah. You know, I talked to this girl the other day who lives in Sweden, and she was saying how it can be light there, you know, for 22 hours a day or whatever.
Yeah,
and she said,
yeah.
And then it can be dark, you know, so either all light or all dark. And she said that she has a happy light, but she said it like, I don't use my happy light enough. And I'm like, first of all, what's a happy light? You know, but it's basically, you know, recreating daylight because of the depression in the dark.
Yeah. A happy light is so ambiguous that it sounds like something you could get at a Toys R Us or like an adult store. You know what I mean? Like, oh, that's my happy light. That's mom's
Absolutely.
Happy light. Like, you know, like, that's so
Mommy's
weird.
Mommy's going in the kitchen to use my happy light.
Yeah.
That's super funny. Well, listen, I'm excited to hear your story today, creating a comedy special during a pandemic. I did watch your special last night on Amazon Prime. Like I said, congratulations. It's really exciting. And yeah, I'm anxious to hear how you pulled this together. I've listened to your podcast and I've heard you and your wife talk about some things on your podcast. I mean, regarding the special, but how does the podcasting together work, the two of you? I mean, you don't all, you're not always together, but when
No. Yeah. So it was, I, for a long time, was like, I don't want you in this, not for my sake, but for her sake. Yeah. Like, I was like, I don't want you in this world of public critique and reading reviews and comments and DMs and so on and so forth. And then the pandemic hit. And I was like, well, I have to have guests and you're here. and then everyone was as charmed with her as I am. And I was like, of course you're lovely on this. And you're not a babbling buffoon like I am. Like, she's smart enough to not say things that invite critique, We really started with a series that we called the Corona Chronicles, which is we just put them out every day right at the start of them. We went to every day for like 3 or 4 weeks because we had nothing else to do, you know, back when people like, not only were we under lockdown, but people took it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
I was at the dentist today listening to my dentist talk about the big family gathering for Christmas that they're going to have. I was like, dude, you're a frontline medical worker. What are you doing?
Is that like, true? Seriously?
Yeah. I just don't think, I think that we have, the married couple, our neighbors, married couple, they were telling us how they're both nurses and both of them are going out of state to go visit their grandkids.
What is happening?
I think people are just done. That's crazy, though. Those are two people in the medical world, you know?
Yeah, and it's worse than ever.
I know. It's wild. I'm not endorsing those decisions. I'm just telling them.
That is shocking, especially a dentist. Well, I'm glad you hopefully won't have to go back for a while.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, well, make sure I get my appointments in before your Christmas in. So, but anyways, what I was saying was, we didn't have anything else to do, so we did it. And, you know, then we just kind of kept rolling with it. And now we alternate between it being guest driven and then me and my wife. And it's great because, you know, I have good rapport with her and her with me. And I also feel like it brings out you're so different with your loved ones than you are a guest. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it actually does kind of offer something to the pod that wasn't there before, which is a sillier side of me, a different, more relaxed version of me. Because you're away with them that you aren't with anybody else. So,
and the name of your show is "Don't Make Me Come Back There," which is so cute and so funny. You know, the logo is a silhouette of a guy with his, you know, hand over the rearview mirror, like "Don't make me come back there. Don't make me stop this car." You might have to put like another figure in the front seat.
I know. That's a good point. We do need to update it. We need Melissa in there too.
Oh, that's adorable. All right, you guys. Listen, we're going to get over to Dustin's story in just a second, but I did want to remind you that Story Smash, the storytelling game show, is being played live every Friday night on Facebook. Yes, I've given in to the Facebook. I don't even want money anymore. I just want the masses. So come on every Friday night on Facebook, 7 p.m. Pacific time. We're also on YouTube at the same time. And we are having a blast. You guys, I'm telling you, it's the funniest damn show you'll ever see. So come on over Friday night, 7 p.m. to Christine Blackburn's Facebook. It's public. And enjoy Story Smash. Dustin, you've got to play that game.
I'm in.
Yeah, okay.
Friday?
I'll book you.
I certainly don't have any other gigs to go to right now. So
yeah, it has been pretty easy as a producer these last few months. Yeah. I'll say that. You know, and if somebody says no, I'm like, what else do you have to do? I just push a little bit, you know.
It's been easier to get guests. Yeah, though I was probably one of your biggest pains as far as scheduling, but that's because I was so in the weeds with this special.
I
really want to do this special. I just got to get my head above water.
Yeah, you have to. I get it. And don't forget to come over on December 20th, Flappers Comedy Club. in Burbank is now sponsoring my show, The Storyworthy Hour of Power. So we're going to hear five true stories in 1 hour at Flappers every month. Dustin, you got to do that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's another one.
You guys are streaming them, or how are you guys doing?
No, that's Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. No, it's tickets. It's a $10 ticket thing.
Oh, that's I know Flappers, but yeah. You guys are doing live shows.
Yeah, that's going to be no, virtual. It's still virtual.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There we go.
Virtual, unfortunately, but we are doing a lot of stuff. So anyway, you guys, all that's going to be a lot of fun. All right, you guys, he's here right now, Dustin Nickerson. You've heard him. He is a comedian, and he has a brand new special on, like I was saying, on Amazon Prime called Overwhelmed, and it is damn funny, and I think we're going to hear about it tonight. You've also seen him over at Comedy Central, Netflix, and Fox. He also has the popular podcast, like I said, Don't Make Me Come Back There, and you can find him on Twitter at Dustin Nickerson. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Dustin Nickerson.
Yay. I love a good virtual intro. I like to just hear the applause. Thank you again for having me for this. I was really going back and forth on this, but I feel like the story that I have that, even though I know most people have not produced or executed a comedy special, we're in a minority in that. But everybody has had to try and pivot and figure out how to do their life and business differently. And that's what the story of my comedy special is. And really the story of what I've been doing content wise in general, you know, as far as producing comedy. So, you know, at the beginning of my story was January 2020. Remember, we all were so full of hope and we had all these, you know, these dreams in our eyes and these goals and these resolutions and so on and so forth. And mine very much was to make this comedy special. And we had was running the hour. It was feeling really good. I was feeling like, okay, we've got this thing. And we had a big showcase at the Hollywood Improv that was there just I was headlining. And we were there. We were showcasing the buyers. I couldn't believe the people that were committed to coming. Netflix wanted to come to watch. HBO was going to send a rep. I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, this is great. It didn't mean they were going to make it, but it was going to be the opportunity. And that was that was supposed to happen on April 4th. So we didn't even come close to squeaking it in. And, you know, somewhere around mid-March, the world ended, or at least took a big, pivot to what it is now. And
I know, but we all thought it was going to be done.
Yes.
You know, like maybe 2 months or something. Yeah. Everybody thought we were just pushing the date.
Very much so. I remember being in Cleveland with Taylor Tomlinson and we were talking and just like we were there. It was like March 13th, 14th. It was the last road weekend that we did. And her special had just come out on Netflix. And we were just like, oh, okay. I wonder if we might cancel like next weekend or I don't know, maybe they'll just do like limited capacity. Like it's so funny to think about how novel of an idea it was. None of us had any idea what was coming, right? And by the time that next Wednesday hit, both of us had like our books cleared because things just got pushed. They would like, for me, it would just happen one at a time. And then, you know, we, at the end of the day, at the end of 2020, lost 80% of my work, you know?
Yeah, and that must have been really devastating.
Yeah, it was, and it's, you know, I ended up doing over the summer and into the fall, a big backyard tour to my fans. Like, I just put it up. I was like, hey, who has a backyard? I want to come perform for you. And
that's awesome.
And they would bring me out and we did like 20, 30 dates and it was a ton of fun.
Wow.
But I remember each time I was just like, I didn't know that performing indoors was something I had to be grateful for. You know, like I didn't know that had to be on my gratitude list.
Yeah. Nobody knew.
Yeah. So I kind of make that pivot, start making more online content, just kind of like feeling a little bit sorry for myself because, you know, as a comedian, you have this hour. And Louis C.K. talks about how it's like, jokes have like a fruit lifespan to them. where, you know, they aren't quite ripe, and then they get real ripe and they're real good. And then they go bad at a certain point where you're just, you've told it too much, or you've changed as a person, so you don't really believe in those ideas. And so there is kind of a sweet spot as a comedian where you're like, no, this needs to be recorded sooner than later, especially because the world is changing. Like the way, you know that, Christine, like the way that we talk about, you know, disease, the way that we talk about the medical field, the way that we talk about the police, the way that we talk about politics and racial issues. I mean, if you go from January to today, the whole tone has changed. You know? So I was like, I feel like there is a, I need to get this content out. I want to get this out sooner than later, but I had no idea what that would look like.
Yeah. Don't you, by the way, don't you think that like when you feel it that hard and when you think about it that hard and you think like, I got to get this out, that's going to be a quality product. Do you know what I mean? Like if it keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
That's the stuff. That's the gold.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. You're like, I've got this. Yeah. I got to get this thing to the public. I have a thing. I want them. I believe in it. And, you know, people in comedy, you talk a lot about like, you forget about jokes. And I go like, I've never forgot about one of my good jokes. If it was good, I wouldn't have forgotten about it. You know, like if it's important, it stays right here on the frontal lobe.
That's right.
So, what happens, interesting enough, I feel like this special was the culmination of a lot of things that happened in 2020, including some of the things that we talked about right now. So the fan base that I have, based on where I've toured and who I've toured with a little bit over the years, I have a very conservative fan base. And when everything kind of hit in June, I with the protests and the Black Lives Matter stuff, I was very outspoken about my support for the Black Lives Matter movement. Like I was doing jokes about it because that's, you know, that's the world that I live in is comedy. Like to me as a comedian, if you're not even attempting to make it funny, we're not really kind of doing what we're supposed to do. But I would make jokes about it. And then when I would offend some of my more conservative fans, I would get in there and I would argue with them and try and do it as the most. I had one comedian friend of mine say, the way that you do it so diplomatically, you're showing your background in middle management, you know, which is true. I was in middle management for a year. So, you know, I know how to de-escalate a scenario. And, awesome. You know, with the internet, you never know who's watching. And so there's a comedian named Kev on Stage. Kev on Stage, very funny stand-up comedian, big online presence, had followed me from a while back. And he's Black, and he shared a lot of my stuff. Actually, a few of my closer Black friends started to share a lot of my stuff, and they're texting me about, like, this is kind of some of the most important work is white people telling white people about this, you know? So what that reason that that's an important part of the story is Kev went on to invite me to do he has a show called the Keep Your Distance Comedy. And it's a virtual show. It's in a parking lot and it's produced by Transit Media or made by Transit Media. And it's like 10, 15 people in there, but it's streaming out to about 10,000 people. Very fun. And he invited me to be a part of it. And so I go and I do some other projects with him and fun, I go and do this. I go and do my set. I have a great set, particularly Kev and Transit really like the joke that's in the special about what to do with your sign after the Black Lives Matter protest. You know, you don't want to be seen putting it in the trash, you know, but it's not nice enough to put on the wall, you know. So stuff like it. So Transit immediately comes to me and says like, hey, we want to be in the Dustin Nickerson business. Like this is whatever what you what you're doing, we like. And they're mostly African-American, Black owned and operated. And they're like, and we kind of need a token white guy, which is pretty funny. And I was like, well, I'm your guy because I'm as white as it gets. Like, so we have the conversation and I tell them like, listen, there's some things that I'm working on. I'm doing this back here too. But really what I want to do is I want to produce it. I want to make a comedy special. And, you know, I go, maybe that's down the road. And they go, well, maybe it's right here. And that lot that we produced it is in that parking lot is in the parking lot of Transit Studios in LA. And it came together in like a week. And then Kev goes, I want a part of this. And Kev is the executive producer of it. Kev financially backed half of the thing. And this came from me doing dumb posts on Instagram. They're not dumb about being outspoken on a certain matter, but that's kind of what kept the conversation and the relationships and the bookings coming.
Sure.
And so that's how the genesis of it happened. And then you go, there's a few lessons there, and I feel like I'll get back to that as far as what I'm taking away. The actual special itself is everything you don't want out of a comedy show, right, Christine? Like, yeah, you're a comedy fan.
No lighting, no soundproofing.
Yeah. We're
no dark walls or
we're
background.
Outside, no ceiling.
No ceiling.
There's we're surrounded by barbed wire. A plane goes over a couple times. A guy falls asleep in the show. We're next to a chemical like waste lot, and it's a colder LA night, and so the gases start expanding and making these big bang noises that happen throughout the set. Yeah, and it's like 25, 30 people all spread out, all had a COVID test as they walked in, and they're wearing masks. Like, that's all the wrong things.
No, I know, because you can't hear their laughter, right? I mean, is that what you mean?
Exactly.
With the masks? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we kind of dug into it, and we're like, in some ways, like, this is the perfect special because that's what this year is. Like, and it's not a COVID theme special. There's plenty of jokes about the masks and stuff like that. But I had a friend of mine, Irene, too. She's a comedian. She goes, it's not a COVID special, but it is COVID aware. You know, like,
Well,
yeah, so it
be,
feels,
yeah.
I think, kind of fresh to what the year is.
Totally.
But without being like, here's, you know, I put on my COVID-19 pounds. It's not like that. So, the editing was, as soon as they showed me this, I was like, oh, this is, it's beautiful. They did such a good job. The art looks great on it. It's very unique. But, you know, you take away from, there's a lot of takeaways from this, but one of them is just the things are so much better when they happen organically like this. Like, this happened through relationships and people. I didn't have to convince people to get behind me. They came to me and wanted to be behind me, you know?
That is such a sign of, like, you have to do this. It's mm-hmm. meant to be. It's meant to be. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you know, I'm not one for like particular resolutions. But the one resolution that I had, like, I don't like to set specific things because I don't, like, I think when I first started comedy, my goals were like, I want to be on the Tonight Show, or I want to get past at the Comedy Store, or whatever it may be. But I stopped putting those goals down because I don't think you should ever set goals that are up to somebody else.
Mm, my gosh, that's good. That's so good. For things you know, that you can't control.
I can't control if Adam Egot or JP Buck like me. Like, these are the bookers of those things. They may like me or they may not like me. But I can't set my goals based on somebody else's decision about me. And so only things I can control are like my work ethics, you know, how, you know, what kind of my resolutions are. And like, they're not like, you know, I'm going to check this off. But the one that I had for 2020 was to bet on myself. I was like, I'm going to bet.
Wow.
And we're going to bet on me and me and my, or really to bet on Dustin Nickerson LLC, which is our little small business that could, CEO me and CFO Melissa Nickerson. And to just bet and invest on ourselves. What we didn't know that was going to be was financially backing our own special with Kev's help, you know, releasing it on our own, owning that, putting it out a pandemic special. And really, you know, I'm not going to badmouth in particular because, you know, I have some friends who are on this list. But, you know, a publication that we all read in the comedy world yesterday listed their top specials of 2020. And I just had a laugh because I was like, there's the 10. I was like, four of these guys, like, this is 10 people made up of like two.
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. And they're all famous. They all have this.
Right.
They all have the same reps, by the way. Like,
wow.
So it was like, these are the best specials that were made by famous people or were given to us by their reps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really not saying that I deserve to be on that list, but I'm just saying, well, what we're making is something different. What we're making is for us and owned by us. It's not for us. It's for everyone else, but it's by us and owned by us, you know?
And how did you get to Amazon Prime?
That you put that up yourself. Amazon is, you can submit your own things to Amazon. So Amazon takes a cut. Once you put it to for free on Amazon, they take the majority of the money. Somebody asked me that, like, oh, I can't believe you're charging. One, I give away.
It's $4.99.
Also,
I rented it. I didn't buy it.
Oh, I should have sent it to you for free. That's my bad.
No problem.
That would have been the professional thing for me to do.
No, but it's so worth it.
Thank you. Well, and also, like, we put out so much free content. Like, I put out free videos, things that I make all the time. And a free podcast. Like, we put out stuff all the time. And also, you know, I'm a stand-up comedian in 2020. Throw me a couple bucks.
I'm telling you, right?
You know, it's these things aren't free to make. And
right.
And eventually it'll be free online. But so we submit it. And there's like a submission process that you go through there. But that's how it got up on Amazon.
That's wonderful. But, you know, you also have to think to the people, like, they're not driving their car anywhere. They're not paying a two-drink minimum. They're not buying any food.
Yeah.
They're not paying for parking. They're not valeting. And it's like, come on, 10 bucks is nothing.
Also, if it's on, unless it's on YouTube, which is one way to do it, like Sam Morrells is so good. I know you've had Sam on the pod, you know.
I love him.
He went the free YouTube route, which is great. Like, that was the other kind of option we were considering. But you pay for everything other than YouTube. If you watch that on Netflix, you're paying for it.
Of course. Sam is so funny. He came over to my place to do the podcast, and he got here an hour early.
Oh.
So it wasn't like a little bit early. It was a lot early. And I was sitting in my pajamas watching him on TV, watching his special, like catching up on Netflix. And I pause it and I say, and I'm like, hello? And he's like, hey, man, it's Sam. And I'm like, oh, okay, come on in. And I'm so sorry, you're early. And he goes, oh, I was in the neighborhood.
I'm way early. No, and he didn't send you like a hey, I'm early text. He just came to the door.
No, he just came to the door. So I thought it was a package. It was very funny. I know. It's like sometimes when the phone rings and you're like, what? What's that? You know? Oh, somebody's calling you. What is this mysterious phone you speak of? Hello?
That's like the thing I do the least with my phone now is make a phone call. If it rings, I assume something's wrong somewhere.
Yeah. Have you kept up with technology with your children, or have they passed you?
Yeah, both. So we there are certain things that I'm like, hey, can you do this? Like, as far as some like tech things, but for the most part, so our kids like don't have smartphones. Our kids are not on social media. It's a real point of tension sometimes with them. But so they have little, like, the two oldest have things called Gab phones. I don't know if you've seen that. All they can do is text. That's it. Call, you know, which is what phones were forever. That's all our phones were when we first got cell phones. So they're not on social media, and but there are certain things where I'm like, hey, can you help me with this, with the TV, with the Apple TV or something like that, that they that, you know what it is they're just faster at it.
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, like, they can just find the thing quicker than I can. Or if, like, they're like, hey, go put on some music on Spotify.
Yeah.
They cannot stand how slow I am. They're just like, everything is so rapid. Yeah.
Just let me do it. I got it.
Exactly. That's
now,
exactly
my daughter's not on any social media yet either, but she does have some YouTube channels because she's really into filmmaking. So she creates and stuff like that. But she wants to be on Instagram really bad. And she's going to turn 14 and we're thinking about it. But it's like, I don't know. But regarding the technology, like, I feel like I'm totally up to date with my daughter in terms of, like, I use GarageBand, she uses GarageBand or something like that. But she's now moving on to Final Cut Pro, which I used to know, but it's totally changed. And she's getting an iPhone 11 for Christmas. And
I got
a 6. What the heck, man? What is happening?
Yeah, that is a point of contention for our kids when I keep getting new tech, because they're like, well, you get to be on Instagram. I tell them, like, I don't want to be on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's my job to be on Instagram.
I know. And, it's true.
You know.
It's true. Like, no, I tell my daughter that all the time. She's like, you're on Facebook. I'm like, you think I'm having fun over here? I'm just posting because it's necessary.
Exactly. Yeah. I do these things to serve the other thing, which is, you know, come see me do stand up and listen to my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you happy to be off the road here for a second?
Yes, I am. I miss performing. I don't miss the road. Because there is some stuff, because stuff is open. It's not open here, but there are, you know, a lot of clubs and stuff that are still open. And, you know, that's a debate for a different time. But like there are, and some are taking them more seriously than others. And, you know, I've done some where I've walked in, I was like, oh, this is great. You did this. You plexiglass, everyone, the thing, you did it all right. There is a way to, and you get money, the staff gets money, everyone's okay here. But there are, and there's a lot of them we were doing outside. I would say of the shows I've done this year, 90% of them have been outside, including the special. Mm-hmm. You know, but there are ones that are just, you know, I've heard that they're more reckless and less safe. But I did a little calculation that I was like, I'm doing in a month what I used to do in a week as far as shows go.
Wow.
So I'm doing maybe 7 sets a month where, yeah, that used to be, yeah, I would do no less than 7 a week,
yeah.
You know. So
now what's the scene like in San Diego?
San Diego is the best kept secret in comedy as far as sets go. There, we have 4 clubs, which is
La Jolla,
crazy.
The comedy store.
We have the La Jolla Comedy Store. We have American Comedy Company. We have the Comedy Palace, and then we have Madhouse Comedy Club.
Wow! And
then in Escondido, 30 minutes north, we have Grand Comedy Club, which is new. And then we also have a casino room up in Temecula. Though I don't know if they're still going. And then a ton of independent shows. I ran Lestat's Comedy Night, which is the longest running independent comedy show in San Diego, every Tuesday for 15 years.
Aww.
I know, not anymore.
You miss it.
Oh, they kept my name up on the marquee because the world ended on a Tuesday and we were supposed to have our show that night and it got canceled and it made me so sad. I had to stop driving by it, you know? Yeah, but we had Tiger was a great independent show and it got shut down and, you know, or the bar just closed, you know, so we're a great scene with a ton of spots and I hope comedians across the country don't hear that because I like how much stage time I can get here.
I'm close enough to
LA.
Yeah. Sure. You are. You really are. Yeah. I did the show, my game show at the Improv for almost 3 years every month.
Yeah.
And then February was the last one. Our March one got canceled. Yeah. It was just really disappointing. Well, obviously, and we don't.
It is sad.
Like you said, we could go on about that forever because it's, you know, here's the thing. Your comedy special is so time capsuled now. Do you know what I mean?
Mm,
like it's a time capsule. People will look at it in the future and they'll say, this is what comics had to do, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. I hope. The hope was to make that, but also make it timeless enough that you would go back and be like, oh no, there's still material in here about.
Oh, there is, of course.
Yeah. But you're right that it will. It is very much a moment in time.
So your comedy's all pretty much G-rated, as it were. No, what do you call it? No, it's you're clean. You have clean comedy.
I'm a clean comic. Yeah, it is like Pixar, in that sometimes there's jokes in there that the adults get that the kids don't get. And I've gone back and forth with that as far as my desire goes, but I will tell you that there is something really special about when a family watches your stuff together. I don't make comedy for kids. I make comedy for stand-up, for adults, but I like parents who love stand-up being able to watch that with their kids, particularly their older kids, you know, like a toddler I'm not Blue's Clues. I'm not going to hold their attention.
No. But you're talking about like your son and my daughter's age. Like
you could watch it with your daughter and no one's going to blush. There's going to be no, that's when, you know, kids like, I've done gigs for teenagers before. I talk about it in the show, in the special, actually. And that's bad because they're all together. But a teen with their parent, great crowd member. Mm-hmm. This is going to sound grandiose. But to me, it is important that the next generation likes stand-up comedy. And so the only way they're going to do that is watching it with their friend. Because everything is short right now. TikTok, under a minute. Reel, under 30 seconds. You know, like, it's all punch, 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 punch. And, you know, like, YouTubers are like, what YouTubers do is just not stand-up comedy. You know, it's like, boom, no. Graphic scene, other stuff going on. You know, it's like a Japanese game show.
It's a form. No, it's a form.
Totally. Sure. And stand-up, I'm like, you have to pay attention to this.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why you're in the one dark club with one light focusing on you. And that's it. You got to set it up to make it look good. I mean, that's
exactly
that's
the difference between us and music is music can be consumed passively. Stand-up cannot be consumed passively.
Right. It's a conversation.
Exactly.
I get it. So do your kids watch your stuff then?
They do. They think I'm much funnier off stage though. Cause they're like, they're like, oh, you're like a riot around the house. I'm like, well, I'm catering to you here. You know what I'm doing here. I have these adults in this crowd that need to laugh. So, my son is getting, as he gets older, he appreciates it more because stand up can be pretty nuanced, you know? But it is, you know, it's, you know, one of our heroes for multiple reasons, Marc Maron, he talks about stand up is, you know, making a connection a lot with the people. And there's just no connection with the kids. They're like, if it's just the kids, they're like, I don't feel this. But when I'm, you know, to the audience, you know, in front of me.
Well, and they also don't understand, like, if they've heard you say it before, maybe they think,
Have heard it. Or they're like, that's not how that happened. I was like, yeah, I have to make it a little funnier.
Oh, yeah. I get that all the time. That's not true. It's like, shut up.
Don't fact check me.
Yeah, please. I think it is very important to teach kids comedy, to show them comedy. And I have no problem telling my daughter, that's not funny. You know, try again. It's not funny.
I do that all the time. Yeah. I tell them like, nah, try harder.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not funny. It's not funny. Yeah. Think harder. Think, go to the next step. Well, then what, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm making them stuff.
Yes. I love that. Which by the way is what I tell people. One of the best things about working clean is it makes you edit like that. It makes you go like, I want to say this, but what could I say? And that's writing, right? Like you just dig a little deeper and you find a funnier word or a funnier concept, or you don't get to the easiest punchline. You don't have to work clean to do that, but working clean will do that for you, you know?
Yeah. And so now you're writing all new material.
Yeah. Working on it. You know, I don't have a stage to do a lot of it, but yeah, working, that's terrifying, right? Because, you know, I have not done this before. This is my first hour I've ever put out. So, but it's fun and it's fun to be really excited about bits again. And not that I still love those bits, and some of them I wrote very close to the time of the special. Yeah. So I still like those bits, and other ones I'm like, I'm so glad to never tell that again.
Yeah. It's you know, true. Yeah.
And but I wish I had San Diego and LA to go work out right now, because LA is, you know, I'm in LA once a week when
normal
comedy
times
would happen.
Sure.
Exactly. And so that was my favorite thing. I wish more than anything, I don't miss the road, to go back to your earlier. What I miss is that I could go to LA and do three spots in a night, or that I could come here and just do two or three, and I could work and hash out the ideas. Yeah. You know, and now I'm just like, I'm doing a lot of like to my wife, is this something, do you think? And also
filling up your notebooks with just little scribbles.
I know. And then I know they're all over the place. They're just they really,
I have it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking here.
No,
like,
don't throw away that post-it.
Yeah. That. Yeah. And like, you just look at this and you're like, I don't, gosh, this is nothing. Yeah. And what I was going to say is, and also the stuff that I am writing, like a couple weekends ago, I was doing shows in Raleigh and I have this big chunk that I really like about Trump right now. And it's fairly apolitical and I feel like it kind of does what I like to do, which is to poke fun at both sides. But I'm like, how long is this bit going to be good for? You know, cause like this is topical enough that, you know, are we going to get to February and everyone's like, never mention Trump in any way whatsoever, you know,
we can only hope. That's my goal. I hope so. So you did go out then. You flew. You went to Raleigh.
Yeah, I've done some stuff. Yeah, you know, it's quite a process as far as, you know, a COVID test. I do a COVID test before I go. I do a COVID test when I'm there. I do a COVID test when I get home.
Wow.
I'm spread out. I'm mask. I'm hand sanitizer. I'm everything, you know, that you can do. And, you know, I live with my dad. My dad lives with us at this point. He pays us rent. But, you know, he's...
That's awesome. How old is he?
He's 69. And, you know, he's diabetic and, you know, 69. So I'm like, we're going to be pretty careful out here. So...
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that is so awesome. That's so great for your kids to have that advantage.
Yeah, we
like When I watch, like, the Goldbergs and American Housewife and different shows that we watch, the sitcoms, I always think, like... It's just me and my girl, you know, like sometimes I wish there was a fan, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's There's nice real pros and cons to it. And they're definitely, so I would, it would be great if we had more than one bathroom, but hey, living in California ain't cheap. You know that.
No, it certainly isn't. So that's why we can spend a lot of time outside. At least we have that.
Yeah. Have you considered moving? Have you considered the exodus? No, you're here.
Absolutely not. I've been here for 23 years in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
So I am like, I'm deep in primarily because there's tennis courts all around me and I play almost every day.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's that. Listen, I'm so happy to meet you, Dustin. This is really fun.
Absolutely.
Thanks
for having me.
Yeah. All right, you guys, we got to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Make sure you follow Dustin over on Twitter at Dustin Nickerson, and then also head over to his website, dustinnickerson.com. And you guys, don't forget to go to storyworthypodcast.com to find out everything going on, including who's on Story Smash this week. And also follow Story Smash on Instagram. Lots of photos over there. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of the very talented Dustin Nickerson, make sure you go watch his special, Overwhelmed, on Amazon Prime. It's $5, guys. It's $5. Overwhelmed. And one more time on behalf of Dustin. Thanks so much, friend. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I like the way you say overwhelmed. Whelmed.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Why? Whatever.
I love it.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Story Worthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.